good day, everyone. Welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by what you hear. We want to inspire you through Christ to fly in the power of God's Word to the challenging times in your lives. Be sure to visit the blog page for prophetic words, updates, and godly inspiration at www.wingsofprophecy.com. Now here is your host, Glenda Linkus.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Wings Radio program. I'm your host, Glenda Linkus, and today we're going to talk about judgment on a nation. Since the Supreme Court's ruling on Friday to approve gay marriage for all of the United States, I don't think there's been much else on the minds of Christians. Everyone is feeling a great dread in their spirit, and our spirits are so grieved over this decision. Not because we dislike gay people, because I don't know a single person that dislikes gay people. I love gay people. But because we know that God is offended at the direction that this country has taken and the defiance that's being shown for his laws. For those who don't have access to the internet, I want to read a prophetic word the Lord gave me on June 30th called Justice. Watch now, my children, as my mighty justice is revealed. My justice is perfect and righteous. When you do not fully understand what you see, remember this. I am the God of justice. I desire all people would walk holy before me. I desire nations would walk in my ways, that leaders would lead through my holy word. When they do not, my justice comes as a rod of correction. I created all you see, and all you see is mine. I formed it and you, and I formed the worlds. All of it belongs to me. Those who oppose me and my ways will soon know this. Okay, the purpose of this show and what I want you to get from this show is I want to show you that God does not change. Whenever he hands down judgment on a nation that has turned wicked, has turned away from his ways, he does it in very specific ways. The first time that there was a judgment handed down that I can find is the story of Noah, which we know is where the whole world has turned against God's ways. It's in Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, there were giants in the earth that were mating with humans. God chose Noah to raise up as a deliverer. Noah was a deliverer. He was going to deliver his family out because God did not find anyone else righteous. God warned the world. We know this because Noah, it is said in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. It took him 100 years to build the ark. Nobody is going to convince me he was not warning everybody he knew while he was building it when they were saying, hey, Noah, what are you doing? Here are the three things that I continually find over and over as I read these stories in the Bible of different nations that were judged. I find that the people were warned, number one. I find, number two, that God saved a remnant, in this case, Noah and his family. I find, number three, that God raised up a deliverer. By the way, somebody said on the internet, I don't remember where I saw this, but they said somebody had predicted or prophesied a tsunami was going to destroy the East Coast. And somebody posted or said, oh, that can't happen because God made that promise. No, God didn't promise not to destroy the East Coast. God promised not to ever destroy the world again with water. He did not say he wouldn't destroy this area or that area. He said he would never again destroy the whole world by water. So let's be sure that we get that straight. Okay, the second story I found of judgment on a nation was in Exodus. It was the story of Moses and Egypt. God raises up a deliverer. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. That's Exodus 3, verse 2. Okay, the warnings. Moses said, "Let my people go." That was a message from God, and he kept going back to Pharaoh. "Let my people go, that they may worship me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh would always be very prideful. "Why should I listen to your God?" In chapter 5 of Exodus, verse 2, "And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.'" Yeah, he really didn't know the Lord for sure. That was obvious. Moses continued to warn. Pharaoh continued to be prideful and resist. And by the time it was all done, Egypt was in very bad shape. The locusts had come, the hail had fallen, destroyed all of their crops. There was the death of every firstborn male. And on top of that, when the Red Sea parted, all of Pharaoh's army was killed in the Red Sea. Plus, they had all the silver and jewelry that they had borrowed from them when they dressed to go into the wilderness. Another thing that I found in studying the judgments of nations is that God continually made covenants with the righteous. With Noah, we find that covenant in Genesis chapter 9. "I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth." And it goes on. And I love what Perry Stone said about the rainbow. He said, "Anytime you see the rainbow, you can never see more than half of it, but God has the other half." In Deuteronomy chapter 28, you will find the covenant that was made with the Israelites. It's called the blessing and cursing chapter. "And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth." And it goes on. And incidentally, it's very obvious that some of the things that are brought upon the nations that defy God when the judgments fall are in the cursing part of that chapter. Now, one note, as I talk about these nations that judgment fell on, I'm excluding the nations that God led Israel to conquer because we have so little information on them. And I'm talking about the ones as they went in to take the promised land. If you read the book of Jeremiah, you can read all about the judgment on Israel and how Jerusalem was destroyed. And we have to remember that Jerusalem is God's favorite city in the entire world. Those were his people. And it was a temple built in his name. And that was all destroyed. I mean, blood ran in the streets, destroyed in AD 70. And what he says in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, says it all. "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hoed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." In other words, they've left me and they have put their faith in something that won't work. Now, I'm sure I don't have to tell y'all that I am preaching about America, do I? If you continue on in Jeremiah chapter 2, starting at verse 19, "Your own wickedness shall correct you, and your backsliding shall reprove you. Know, therefore, and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and that my fear is not in you, says the Lord of hosts. For of old time I have broken your yoke and burst your bands, and you said, 'I will not transgress,' when upon every high hill and under every green tree you wander playing the harlot." There is not nearly enough fear of God in America today. God has a remnant. And in all these stories of judgment, I keep finding where God saves a remnant. In the story of Noah, he saved a remnant. In the Israelites, even though the original Israelites got in trouble for murmuring and complaining and they didn't go into the promised land, their children did. So there was a remnant there. In Genesis chapter 19, we have the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, which we know was very evil in God's eyes. The only reason anyone was delivered out of Sodom and Gomorrah was because Lot was there. Were they warned? Yes, I can show you two places where they were clearly warned. Number one, chapter 19, verse 11, "And they smote," talking about the angels, "smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so they wearied themselves to find the door. If they were smote with blindness, they knew something was there that was not of natural power. That is clearly a warning. Number 2, verse 14 of chapter 19, And Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked to his son-in-law. They were warned. You know they went and told everybody they knew. Oh, our father-in-law Lot, he's lost his mind. He thinks God's going to destroy the city. And they probably laughed about it right before the fire and brimstone hit. The very next verse after that says, And when the morning arose. So that was clearly before it happened. They had time. They told the story. People were warned. But no one had any fear of God. And without fear of the Lord, no one's going to believe, are they? Many of you are experiencing the problem of trying to warn the people that you love what is coming. A lot of them are not going to listen, and all you can do is pray for them. Okay? They're just not going to listen. They don't know the Lord. They don't fear the Lord. They've been hearing Jesus is coming back and all this for decades. And it just goes right over their head. You have to pray for God to give them eyes to see and ears to hear, and for him to wake them up. He's the only one who can. Believe me, I know it is frustrating. Okay, again and again, I found similarities in the stories of judgment. I'm going to talk to you about the judgment on Israel, because to me, that one is the most profound. That was God's own people. And these are from the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 5. You see where the people became vain or puffed up. Thus saith the Lord, What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Okay, number 2, idolatry. Jeremiah 2:11. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. In other words, for something that will do them no good. They have forsaken him. Number 3, Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hoed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So you've traded God for something that does you no good. Okay, they have shed innocent blood. This is in chapter 2, in verse 23. And after 23, starting at 23. How canst thou say, I am not polluted, I have not gone after Balaam? See thy way in the valley. Know what thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary traversing her ways, a wild ass used to the wilderness that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure. In her occasion, who can turn her away? He's talking about an animal in heat here. All they that seek her will not weary themselves. In her month they shall find her. Without thy foot from being unshod, and thy throat from thirst, but thou saidest, There is no hope, no, for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. Another aspect I found again and again, stubbornness and shamelessness. Jeremiah 3:3, Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. And thou hadst a whore's forehead. Thou refused to be ashamed. A whore's forehead would be a very brazen look. A very bold and brazen look. Okay, I kept finding adultery. Jeremiah 5:6. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. Israel was married to God, just as we are. Jeremiah 8:12, unashamed. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Okay, now we're going to talk about what the judgment is like, and we'll use Israel for the example. Starting in Jeremiah 4:19, war. My bowels, I am pained at the very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Can we expect war? You bet we can. There are already nations that would love to wipe us off the face of the map. If y'all are not familiar with a prophet named Tom Deckard, thejewishprophet.com, make yourself familiar with him, because he has not been wrong in over 30 years. God showed him there will be civil war again in America. This one will be more of a race war. Jeremiah 4:20, talking about the destruction. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. Again and again and again, when nations were judged, I found that he made the land desolate. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. In other words, I'll desolate the land, but I'm not done yet. I kept finding murdering and violence. Jeremiah 4:31. For I have heard a voice as of a woman in travail, and the anguish as of her that bringeth forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion, that bewaileth herself, that spreadeth her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul is wearied because of murderers. The other thing I found were wild beasts, was one of the things I found. Jeremiah 5:6. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Every one that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased. Invasion by other countries. Jeremiah 5:15. Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. They're going to eat all your food. Jeremiah 5:17. And they shall eat up thine harvest and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. They shall eat up thy flocks and thine herds. They shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities, wherein thou trusted, with the sword. Slavery. And it shall come to pass, when you shall say, wherefore doeth our Lord, the Lord our God, all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, like as ye have forsaken me, and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. The loss of families. Jeremiah 6, verse 12. And their houses shall be turned unto others, and their fields and wives together, for I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. Bodies and carcasses laying in the street. Jeremiah 7, 33 and 34. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven, and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. All you have taken away. Jeremiah 8:10. Therefore will I give their wives unto others and their fields to them that shall inherit them, for every one, from the least even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness, from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. Famine. Jeremiah 8:13. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Destruction by fire. Jeremiah 9:10. For the mountains will I take up a weeping and wailing, and for the habitations of the wilderness a lamentation, because they are burned up, so that none can pass through them. Neither can men hear the voice of the cattle. Both the fowl of the heavens and the beast are fled. They are gone. War, famine, disease, everything you have being taken away. Slavery, your family gone from you. It will rain on the just and the unjust. God does have a covenant with us that he will protect us, but there will be some things that we will suffer because of what's come upon the nation. Nations are judged because of what their leaders do. Individuals are judged because of their own sin, but nations are judged when they turn the laws and the ways of the people that they rule away from God. I think it's obvious that everyone, after the ruling on Friday, can feel in their spirits that that was kind of the end of God's patience with all this. He is long-suffering, and he has been very long-suffering. In 1962, the Supreme Court voted that prayer in public schools was illegal. In 1973, the Supreme Court voted that abortion, killing babies inside their mother's wombs, would be legal in America. Since then, numerous fights over nativity scenes, Ten Commandments, plaques, etc., have ensued. What happens when a nation does that is God will say, okay, y'all don't want me in there? Fine, I'll leave. God is light. When you kick out all the light, all you have left is darkness. I have this to say about that. Meanie, meanie, tekel, you farson, America. You have been judged and found wanting. The writing is on the wall. God himself will even the score. For those of us who believe in him, remember this. We know persecution is coming. Remember what Daniel did. Remember Abshak, Meshach, and Abednego. How did they act when they were taken captive by a foreign nation and when they were made slaves and their names changed and everything else? Remember how they acted. They acted honorably, and God protected them. Even to the fiery furnace, God protected them. He will protect you too if and only if you stand up for what is right. If you bend to the most politically correct popular opinion, if you rainbow your picture on Facebook and all that kind of garbage, you cannot expect God's protection. Do you hear me? I'm talking to somebody in this. You cannot stand with evil and claim to be righteous. You must choose which side you are on. You must choose this day who you will serve, because you cannot serve Satan and God. God is a holy God. He is a righteous God, and he will not accept seconds. And you should not expect him to. And shame, shame on those who do. And let me tell you, I just had a conversation yesterday with a member of my family, a close, very beloved member of my family who rainbowed their picture on Facebook. I love the people that are homosexual. Do not get me wrong. I love them. Some of them are that way because of things that happened to them. And I have heard horrible, horrific stories. And I'm going to be having a guest on this program who has been delivered from homosexuality for those who wish to be delivered. Not everyone wants to be delivered from sin, in case y'all didn't know that. There are many people who want to keep their sin and they want to keep their demons. And God will walk them all the way to the gates of hell if that's what they want, because he is a gentleman. But we want to offer resources for those who do wish for a different kind of life. America will not ever rise to power again when God's done with it, y'all. We will be invaded. War will come. Famine will come, is coming, and many other really horrible things. But our job as believers is to keep believing, is to stand in faith, is to not compromise what we believe, no matter what we are faced with, even if we are staring down the barrel of a gun or looking at a machete. Do you hear me? We are Christians. We're the ones that they hate. We're the ones they're going to come after. Just know that and accept it. Here's the good news. If America's under judgment, probably all of us are going to be going home pretty soon. That's the good news. Spend your time in the Word, getting closer to God, and praying. Pray for the lost. Pray hard for the lost, y'all, because there are still many lost that can be saved. Generally, with God's judgment, he will warn and warn and warn and warn, and he will send things like 911, warnings through prophets, natural disasters, those sort of things, to get as many to repent and turn to him as possible, because God loves them. He wants them to be saved. We want them to be saved. So our job as his children is to pray for them to be saved. Okay? Strengthen your faith. Here's the good news. As you're praying for them and you're spending time in the Word, you get a better understanding of what is happening, how it will play out. God doesn't change. All these nations that were judged, they were judged very similarly for very similar violations of his law. There will be plagues. There will be plagues that there is no cure for. Know that. Millions will die. There is no question about that. Our job is to endure until whenever the end comes for us, so that we can stand before our Savior, the Deliverer that was raised up for us, and hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I hope this message has helped you. I know this is a very difficult time. The grief, the sorrow that we feel in our spirits is so great over what has happened. And I think because so many of us feel in our spirit that, okay, that was it. That was the last nail in the coffin for this nation. I don't grieve for the nation at all. God told me to stop praying for the nation long ago. I grieve for the lost that will not find him in time, for those who are happily partying, who are so prideful and defiant because they won't look for him. and for the many dreams of happy, you know, happily ever after and happy futures that so many will never see fulfilled because there won't be any place here to fulfill them. Lord God in heaven, I pray that you would touch each listener wherever they are, Lord, as they hear this message. I pray, Father, that you would give us great wisdom in this trying time that we are walking through. All nations will be affected when America is judged, not just America, but other nations as well. I pray, Father, that you would remind us numerous times a day to intercede for the lost and for those that we love who are still lost. I pray, Father, you would give us great boldness and courage, like Abshak, Meshach, and Abednego. Before they were thrown into the fiery furnace, they stood up boldly, Lord God, and I pray you would give us that kind of faith. Empower us, Lord, anoint us for what we must walk through. May you get all the glory, praise, and honor, Lord. Help us to be strong, to glorify you, and to witness to the very last breath that we have. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Watch and pray. Have a great week.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio. We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any other church or nonprofit organization.